Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Now, one of the big lessons that I have learned about teaching children and the way that they learn things has been, like I said, the fact that children learn from example. They learn from what they see, right? So even more than what you say, what's more important is what they see, the way that you live your life. What example are you modeling for your children? That's even more important, right? And that's been one of the bigger challenges for myself. I always say, I don't know how I had a child. I feel like I was a child. I was a grown woman, but very immature in my faith. And even now, I feel like I'm still growing. And I hope I continue to grow. I hope I stay growing forever until Jesus comes. But the bottom line is there are certain things that I knew were right to do, and I was not necessarily doing them. But I was not comfortable with my children following in my footsteps. And so I would tell them one thing and they would see me do another. And sometimes they would ask me when they were of age to now start reasoning, they would ask me, are you supposed to be doing that on a Sabbath? True story. I'm being open and vulnerable here. But that would not annoy me, but it would be like, okay, I know what I'm doing is wrong. Please kindly leave me alone. I'm not your age mate. But the fact of the matter was, I feel that the Lord was speaking to me through them. And it really became difficult to kind of rationalize living one way and teaching your children something else. It's very important that we recognize that our actions are more important than our words. You cannot tell them to control their temper when you cannot control your temper. You cannot tell them that they must be obedient to you as a parent when you are not obedient to God. You cannot tell them to share and to forgive each other, forgive their siblings, when you and your spouse fail to forgive one another, when they see you giving each other silent treatment, or they see you speaking to each other in harsh tones, when they don't see any friendship between the two of you. How do you expect the children to have friendship between themselves? And so a living, breathing example ends up becoming the best teacher for our children. Sure, we can bring up examples of people who've been raised in abusive situations and they hated it so much that they grew up and said, absolutely not. I do not want to be like my dad, or I do not want to be like my mom because of how terrible they were. Sure, that happens. But there's so much damage that happens to a child when you do that. And there's so much confusion in a child when you say one thing and you live another. So I think that one of the biggest examples that I have seen has been that of the importance of the live, what you call it, the example that a child sees in your day-to-day life, right? It looks like our pastor is ready to get into conversation, and so we're going to be connecting with him in just a moment. Please do engage with us on +27 7347 03 520, and let's have this conversation with Pastor Manyepa. He joins us on the line right now.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Manyepa, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. How are you, my dear sister?
I'm doing well, Pastor. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. God is good.
All the time. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you making time to speak with us on this beautiful preparation day. A very interesting subject we're talking about raising our children who just absorb everything that they see around them, including our own behavior as parents. And so hopefully you'll be able to set us straight as parents so that we can lead our children in the right direction. Let's start maybe with some creative ways that we can teach children about God's love at home.
This is a very powerful, a topic that you've brought up, and given the world that we live in, it's high time that we should tune our energy and our resources, in empowering children. Some of us and our generation are passing, but the generation that is coming up is being neglected. There are powerful ways whereby we can teach our children, some creative ways, and teach them about God. For instance, taking them out to nature, exposing them to nature and explaining to them how good God is through nature.
Yeah.
You know? Now, yeah, we can as well have our stories, you know, powerful stories, you know, because children have got a very powerful
imagination,
yes. You know, so by giving them stories, by telling them stories, you know, and stories that connect, that really show them God's love.
Mm.
It's another way, a powerful way of, you know, teaching them of God's love.
Mm.
And, you know, we can as well teach them the Bible stories, you know,
mm-hmm.
not just natural stories, but even biblical stories can also help actually bring them closer, you know. In short, just trying to capture their imagination.
Beautiful. And then how can parents and guardians model God's love in everyday actions? We were just talking a moment ago about the importance of our example, sometimes even being more important than the words that we speak. How exactly can we model God's love in our everyday, day-to-day actions, just in our general lives?
It's very true, you know. Our children learn more through observing than through listening. You know? They observe more and they actually study us better than we do them, you know. And that's the most, that's where the danger lies. Because many a times we are absent-minded and we do things.
Hello, Pastor? Uh-oh, we seem to be having a network challenge.
For instance, we sometimes have these tantrums. We relate to other people in the presence of our children, and we don't realize that we are actually teaching them. You know, especially a time when they build their character.
Yeah.
You know, the age of 3 years to 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most dangerous age because they are actually are building or actually having or shaping their own character and attitude.
Really interesting. 3 to 12. Interesting, very interesting. A lot of the times we think the teen years are the worst, and yet the work has to be done before the teen years arrive.
Yes, because, you know, when they get to their teen years, they are now showing you what they have, you know, the raw data they now have.
Hey.
That's why we are shocked, you know. But did you know that at 2 years, our children's sexual, experience would have started? At 2 years.
Wow.
That's when they start to realize that I'm a boy,
right,
I'm a girl,
right.
You know, yes. And they start to look at each other, you know, as private parts. They look at that one, they try to give them an identity.
Mm-hmm.
They look at their parents to try to show, you know, to realize who they are, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you have a boy in your home, they want to look at their father's private parts to see if they are the one, if they are one or they are this, you know, the same with the lady, with the girl, they want to look at the ladies as well, you know, and they start to identify, you know, at that tender age of two, they start to know the sexual activities, kisses start to make sense at that particular age. And as parents, you know, at that age, 2 years, you are still sleeping in the same room with your children. And you think they go to sleep. They don't sleep, these young ones.
Interesting, very interesting. And so moving on to, now, this one is one that I was just telling the listeners, this one I've faced it myself, trying to explain complex biblical concepts about love to young children. With me, it was not about love. My kids were asking me about the Trinity, and I found myself vexed. And I was just like, hey, direct them to their father. Go ask your dad. I don't know. So how do we explain some of these biblical concepts that tend to be kind of complex? How do we explain those to young children?
Yeah. You know, I've also come to realize that the children of this generation, they are very, very complicated,
mm-hmm.
to a point that we cannot continue treating them as we used to treat those before the electronic generation, before the techno-versant generation.
Yeah.
You know, these ones are so much advanced. They need to learn the real stuff. When we were growing up, we were told fairy tales for us to get a concept.
Yeah.
But for our generation today, because of the AI, the artificial intelligence, the level of IQ that our children now have, they need to be told the real stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you get to explain the Trinity to them, you really have to go direct, step by step, in it. And not cutting corners or maybe surfing to say, they are young ones, these things they cannot understand.
Mm.
Those gaps are the ones that are causing us problems today.
Eish.
Because when we were growing up, our elders were teaching us and leaving some gaps, and we were filling those gaps on our own.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
Yeah. And we were now looking outside to fill in those gaps. And the church is now in trouble because of that kind of teaching.
Mm.
Our children need to be taught exactly as it is, without cutting corners.
Powerful. And it's very interesting that you say that, Pastor, because I think sometimes we think, they're children, it doesn't matter, like, it's fine, just they don't have to have the full picture. If I don't understand the concept myself, I'll just leave it like that. It's not a big deal. But like you're saying, where there's a gap, someone else is going to fill that gap, and then it's out of your control at that point. So I think we need to stop. Also, we have this idea that because they're children, they'll never understand this. So just don't even bother trying to explain that. Just leave it. And maybe when they're older, they'll figure it out. But that's a problem because, again, that's leaving a gap open that someone else can fill.
Mm-hmm. To be blunt, the devil can fill.
Correct. Correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we
because there are many teachings out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are many teachings out there. So if we are to teach our children and be leaving these gaps, definitely those foreign religions or foreign doctrines will fill in those gaps.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about prayer and the role of prayer in helping children connect with God. What role exactly does prayer play in helping young people connect with God?
You know, I've come to realize that we have underestimated prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We have underrated prayer because it's something that is so simple. You know, we want complicated things, but prayer is the key, you know.
Mm.
And that song should always be taught to our children, that prayer is a key in the hand of faith to unlock all the doors that you think are impossible.
Amen.
You know, so we mustn't get tired of teaching the importance of prayer.
Yeah.
And we must also practice it to an extent that other people should envy, you know, our ways of our prayerful lives, you know. Jesus never sat down to teach about prayer, but he practiced it to an extent that the disciples had to ask him to Lord, teach us how to pray, you know. Because of how much he was in prayer and how much he depended on prayer. It is because we don't pray ourselves and we expect that it will be automatic in our children. They have to see it and they have to ask us that we should teach them to pray as we pray.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to give you an example of how much prayer is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I had an addiction, you know, and I met this elder who realized that I had an addiction. And this elder did not, you know, I kept my addiction away from people.
Mm-hmm.
It was just I was the only one suffering from this addiction. And then this elder caught me now practicing what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then the elder said, you know what, young man, there is a solution to your problem. I cried and I told him I tried everything, but it could not help me. So he said, you know what, every time when you get the urge to indulge in your addiction, before you do that, ask God to give you strength and ask God to forgive you. is you indulge. So I would pray before indulging in my addiction. And every time I would pray, the edge would just go down. Every time I would kneel to say, Father in heaven, I'm about to do this, but I don't like this. Every time I would do that, the edge would go down. Then I realized that this was my pill. This is what got me over this addiction. So every time, you know, we underestimate the power of prayer to an extent that we no longer believe the power of prayer. So we need to teach this in our children so they know that every time when they get into trouble, every time.
Pastor Mayepa, are you there? Hello, Pastor. Oh, we seem to be having a network issue once again. Let's see if we can try and call the pastor back. So we can... Okay, we've got you back. Pastor, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. We had lost you for a second there. What a powerful testimony of the power of prayer, and to have that lived experience. It must be an incredible thing to now pass on to your children and let them also experience prayer working in their lives in such a powerful way. That's incredible. That's amazing. Now, as we wrap up our conversation, how would you say parents can encourage their children to show God's love to other people in practical ways?
You know, there is nothing as powerful as love or putting others first, you know, for others. It's unfortunate we are living in a ruthless life. That's why maybe you asked me this question more. Yeah. We are living in a ruthless environment whereby you trust someone and that someone betrays your trust. Mm-hmm. You know, we are living in a world whereby you care for those who don't care for you. And it ends up eroding our love for others. But nonetheless, God wants us to love those who are around us. So before we love him, you know, in 1 John chapter 4, how can you love God that you have not seen? You should love those you have.
Another issue with the network there.
You saw to others. You're good to. Sorry. Hello?
We had a network issue, but we've got you back now. It's fine.
Yes. So no matter how much people treat you, continue to show love to them. Continue to do good. So you can do good by giving, you know, teaching your children to give. You know, love is not love until you give it away. You know, teach children to give, to be generous, you know, to put others first, to respect others, to carry other people's loads. You know, without payment. Let's not teach our children to always get money, to always be, you know, get rich. No, let's teach our children also to lose for the sake of others.
Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor Manyepa. I think that these are things that we can implement in our lives, in our parenting journeys. And I think that they're not only beneficial to the children, but even for ourselves. Like you've shared your own experience with prayer. And there's so many ways as we are learning, as we're teaching our children, we're also learning. So I think it's a beautiful experience for the whole family to grow. Thank you so much for your time. Have one Sabbath ahead.
Thank you so much, my dear sister. May God bless you and may God bless the listeners as well.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.